Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good afternoon. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
This is Investor Resources live radio program, which means we've got somebody to answer the phone. If you want to call and talk to us today, talk to us about the market. It's been a little volatile. Might be you have
here,
some
here,
concerns.
Here and there. You might have noticed. Yeah.
Yeah. So the magic phone number to get on the board is 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. And if you're not on our weekend review, I haven't edited it yet, but I'm sure it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be great. Yeah.
If you don't get our weekend review on Mondays, send us an email, help@iriradio.com. Put weekend review in the subject line. We need your first and last name in the body of the email, and we'll get you set up in constant contact, which, if you don't like it, makes it really easy to unsubscribe, and we would make you part of the one percenters who do that, because there aren't
for sure. Yeah.
Anyway, this week was kind of exciting, and as I've mentioned from time to time, I like watching old westerns. I only get to watch them when my wife's not in the room, because she always says, "You've watched that before. There's bound to be something else on that we can watch," and she usually finds something. But I was thinking about the one of the movies recently, and they're breaking wild horses. So you got all this bucking bronco kind of stuff going on, and I thought, boy, that's kind of what the week in the stock market was like.
That's a pretty good call. That's just what it looks like. That's right.
Yeah. So on Monday, Jesse Livermore from the 20s would have been right at home with "There's blood in the streets."
There you
go. Things collapse. We have massive selling and massive exit of money. Investors are running for the hills, as though there is a tsunami coming. Tuesday, they came out of the hills and they put money, not all of it, but they put a ton of it right back in the market. And then there's Wednesday with the Fed. And the market is saying, well, you know, the Fed's going to raise interest rates. They're going to crash the market. They're going to crash the economy. And unemployment's going to go up. And the market's going down. So the market's selling off on Wednesday. And then Thursday, there's some relief. And Friday, until 2 o'clock. And all of a sudden, it was like Rumpelstiltskin just waked up and said, "Hey, this is a whole new world. What's going on here? What are you guys doing? Let's get to the party, party, party.
Cheap. Time to jump in. You want to talk about buy the dip? Boy, Friday it happened.
Yeah, the buy the dippers were back in full force. Interestingly enough, and I should bring my chart back up, that one of the things I look at is the scans. I do a daily scan for the number of stocks where there's momentum, which means there's a lot of people coming in and the price is moving in a fairly constant direction. And so in spite of the big day on Friday, the buy scan was only 56. And the sell scan was 278. That's not quite six times greater. Now, the reason the market seemed to end up is because all those things that have been in negative patterns had enough buy the dippers come in and turned them green at the end of the day. And when that happens, you get a big green candle on stuff, and it makes it look like everything's coming up roses.
And for the index, it was. Yeah, for the index, it was a great day. The thing to remember is that was a concentrated move from the top. You know, those big large cap growth stocks got a bid on Friday and came roaring back. The rest of the market, not so much. It was still a lot of weakness out there. So, you know, it's still one of those where we're getting mixed signals about the health of the market out there.
Well, so on the sell scan, the big winner was plus 13.71 for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you're thinking, why isn't that my portfolio?
Yeah, how'd I miss that? Yeah.
Well, that's Novavax. It's a biotech company.
Yeah.
Well, the 13% is, that's significant, but it's not a big deal when you consider that since September, it's down 69%.
Well, I was surprised to see the whole biotech sector was moving up. I mean, it was really, really moving, and it's just been getting just sold lately, just devastating sales. And boy, it just clicked in. And you know, we've said it before, you know, bear markets is when you have the biggest up days. So there's been a bear market in biotech, and that may have been just a big bear market bounce.
Well, that's true. And one of the scans on the ETF side is the leveraged bear biotech, and it's been popping up for a while. Not for a while being days, not
right
not weeks.
That's what a while means now in the market. Yeah,
that's right.
Day before and, yesterday.
And that's a big change. And in fact, I'm prepping some of the stuff for getting us ready for our March webinar, because February's webinar or January's webinar, the end of January, 1st of February. Sorry, I'm getting confused here, working on my dates. The February webinar, February 5th, that's next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. That one's up. You can register. We've got a lot of registrations for it already. You want to register and join us and find out what is on earth going on this week that we're going to find out between now and Friday afternoon. Register at irradio.com. That's irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website says webinar. A couple of clicks, your name and email address, and you'll be set. If you can't join us live, you'll at least get a replay and find out what on earth the twisting of the market is doing by the end of next week, and getting you ready to hopefully handle emotionally whatever unfolds in the month following. And so I'm working on March, getting it set up so we'll be ready for registrations right afterwards. We don't have that on the website yet. But I'm looking at that and saying, man, there's just a ton of stuff that's different this time around.
Lots of things, yeah.
The pandemic messed with the economy. It messed with the financial conditions around the world. Of course, it messed up our healthcare. But most people are sitting in portfolios that are absolutely ignoring this new dynamic.
They got to pretend it didn't happen. They don't. It is never taken into account in their portfolio. And if it's negative, if there's a huge negative effect, then the fix is, well, just wait long enough for it to straighten itself out. And we don't care how long that is. We're just going to wait. And that's what you're getting when you get that pie chart. That's the way that it's supposed to work. That's not an accident. That's not a bug. That's a feature. That's the way it works. And we just don't think that's a good way to run money. We don't think it's a good idea to say, well, let's ignore everything that's happening currently and just let it sit, and hopefully it'll all work out at some point. That's just not a good enough fix, especially if you're someone who's already in retirement.
So I was thinking of the of an old Buick ad from, I think it was in the early 80s, and GM was having trouble with models and years ago, and I really like Cadillacs until they looked like Chevys. And you said, what's, you know, the only difference is the emblem on the outside. So what's the big deal with driving Cadillacs? And so while they're having these model duplication problems in marketing, they had an ad that was, this isn't your father's Buick.
Right.
Well, it looked a lot like it. But that's kind of where we are in the market. This isn't your father's market. One, it's no longer the market of the 50s and 60s, the buy and hold, the nifty 50, buy dividends and live off of them. This isn't the asset allocation market that you just simply broadly diversify and assume everything is coming up roses. This is a market full of danger. Now, it's managed danger, except that most people don't manage it. They sit back and, well, they diversify and just pray it'll all work out someday at the right time when they are ready to retire and the market's down 30%. That, you know, that's not any fun at all.
No, that, and that's some long odds, hoping that the market's going to straighten out for you when you need it to. That's, it's not likely to happen, which is why we think it's a much better process to look at what's going on and adjust your portfolio to what's happening right now. And that doesn't mean you miss every drawdown. It doesn't mean you make every dime in an up market. It means you do better on the way down, and you have the chance to do better on the way up. That's what you do. You give yourself the opportunity to do better, and you give yourself the opportunity to preserve capital and not just take what the market hands out. And that's what you get with the pie chart. Just whatever the market hands out, that's what you get.
Well, that sitting still isn't going to do you any good.
No, nope.
You know, sitting still works if you're watching a football game, but even then you usually can't, because the people in front of you stand up and cheer and you can't see anything. So you have to stand up. You have to react to conditions. And that's basically what most people's portfolios don't do. They simply look at long-term averages and assume that over the long term, their average will be the same. And there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. You have to be more proactive than that. And one of the ways you can be proactive is to give us a call at 800-465-8770.
Yeah, it's just a fact that markets change so much that looking at a market and saying, well, 50 years ago this worked really well, I'm going to keep doing it now, there's just no validity to that argument. You can't do that. You're not in the same market. They don't move the same. They don't react the same. And if you're doing the same thing, the market's just going to roll over you. It'll be here and gone before you ever knew what happened. And we really try to avoid that for our clients. We are up against our first break here. I'd like to remind everyone that next Saturday, we do have our February market update, Saturday, February 5th, 9 o'clock in the morning. You can register for that by going to iriradio.com. That's iriradio.com. Just go to the webinar page and give the registration link a click. You're going to get a link back, and next Saturday morning, just click that link. You'll be live online with us. You're going to be able to see what we're talking about, see the charts we're talking about. We're going to give you an idea about what we think is going on out there in the market, kind of what we're thinking about doing about it, and always we have plenty of time for your questions. So if you have questions about this market, if you have questions about individual securities you have in your portfolio, should they still be there or not, it's a really good time to get a second opinion on those. So again, just go to iriradio.com and you can get registered for that. If you'd like to talk to us this afternoon, we'd love to talk to you. Give us a call, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Well, during the break, both Christian and Michael registered for next Saturday's webinar, so that ramps the numbers up even some more. So do not miss out on this. It's going to be interesting because the market is in a very interesting phase right now. And if you have not registered yet, go to iriradio.com, iriradio.com. Lower left-hand corner says webinar, a couple of clicks, your name and email, and you'll be all set. If you can't join us, you will get a replay link. And even if you can't join us and you have questions, you can always afterwards send us an email, and we will be glad to answer them post-webinar. So we have some phenomenal numbers, which the Fed seems to have ignored for way too long. The 7%, we have 7% GDP growth, we have 4% unemployment, and inflation just a tick under 7 on the CPI. The adjusted number for consumer price expenditures, which exclude things that you don't worry about, like gasoline and food.
Yeah, they don't matter. Yeah.
So if we ignore those at the government level, then we can feel better that we've done a good job. And then we have the producer price index, which is pushing 10. And the Fed has said, we think next month we'll stop printing money. But in the meantime, we're going to keep flooding the markets with money And next month, we'll start thinking about raising interest rates above 0.25% to fight a 7% inflation number. You know, the Fed is asleep here, and basically, they don't want to change unemployment, and they don't want to crash the market. We learned over the last couple of months because of essentially what was insider trading at the Fed. Several board members opted to resign, retire. No, they didn't resign. They retired. Yes, it's not that anybody put any pressure on them.
But they didn't want to talk anymore, so we should retire and get out of here, yeah.
So we know that there's plenty of money in the back pockets of the Fed board members, and certainly they don't want the market to crash. So how aggressive are they going to be to stop this inflation? And right now it looks like they're just counting on prices getting higher, because if they get high enough, you'll quit buying whatever the problem is, and eventually inventory will catch up, and the price will have to come down because it'll be old, and they'll put it on sale just to get it out of the warehouse.
Right, and that
that's not a very good plan.
It's a classic pattern in inflation. That is one of the best cures for inflation, as prices get too high and people stop spending money. But that's kind of the kind of response to inflation that can spawn a recession if. You don't want people to stop buying. You don't want people to start just going, you know, staying home, getting their paycheck, and not going out and spending on anything. You don't want that to happen. And the Fed doesn't want that to happen anyway. But, Don, as you've been saying for months, or, you know, maybe years now, the Fed's painted itself into a corner. They don't have anywhere to go now that inflation's kicked up. They need to raise rates for that. But if they do, then they don't want to spawn a recession or a huge market drawdown, or tick up unemployment, which now Congress has tasked the Fed with. They didn't used to have to mess with that, but Congress decided, well, we can't seem to fix the unemployment rate, so let's make the Fed responsible for that. So now they're responsible for the jobs also. So they're in a tough spot where they really can't win here, no matter what they do.
And the Fed can't do anything to create jobs.
Nothing.
The government doesn't create jobs. The government takes people out of the private employment business to regulate those who survive in the private employment business. That's bureaucracy. That's all that government creates, and that doesn't generate revenue. No, it steals revenue from the rest of us.
Unfortunately, they're very good at it. They're very good at creating all that mess that they create, and it does just suck money out of the economy.
So what's left over, we try to generate enough that we can retire on it, send our kids to college, have some surplus to do some things, buy a house, remodel it, fix it up, you know, vacation, recreate, whatever it happens to be. The government does its best to keep us from doing that by taxation in its very creative forms.
Definitely. They spend a lot of money on that.
They do. They spend a lot of money on that, and they get downright nosy and very mean if you don't want to ante up your fair share. But they can never identify what that fair share is, and that's a rabbit trail we weren't planning on go down today.
Right. Other than more, your fair share is always more. That's what it is. So
one of the frustrations for investors, particularly the age group of people that we generally work with, are pre-retirees and retirees, is you move right up to retirement, you pull the plug and give your notice as of the first of the following month or quarter, whatever that happens to be, I am free from the constraints of your work schedule. I am retiring as of X date. And you have saved money. You have been diligent in setting it aside. You have controlled your surplus expenses and diverted them from fun things to future things. And the future has arrived. And so has the market collapse. And you say,
great.
Yeah, oh, great. Yeah, you know, that's a sarcastic great.
Right.
So what do you do? You know, that is the big problem, and it's the biggest problem for people who have a generalized asset allocation model, which is based on 80 or 90 years of average returns. The stock market average return since 1926 is about 9%. You know, if you jockey the beginning point a little bit, it's going to be somewhere between 9 and 10. Well, the 9 and a fraction percent, let's call it 9.5 as an average, happens about it's less than 10% of the time.
Right.
So you build this, what looks like a beautiful pie chart and mountain chart and forecast for your inflation numbers on this 9% range, and then it doesn't happen.
and then this happens. It's kind of the nightmare scenario that you've got your retirement drawn up over 30 years with an old school traditional financial plan. I'm going to be making 9.5% a year every year from this point on, and then right out of the chute, you take a big hit. That changes everything. It changes everything, and that's why it's so dangerous to rely on those long-term averages, because it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on now. And if you take that big hit, adjustments need to be made. And if you're in a modern portfolio theory, pie chart portfolio, adjustments will not be made. And you're going to just be left hanging there, hoping that it's going to work out sometime during your retirement, and no one's going to be there to protect your capital. That's why we don't do that.
Yeah, in a modern portfolio theory market, the adjustments are called rebalancing.
Yeah.
We're going to sell your winners and buy some more of your losers. And the older you get, the more bonds we're going to buy. Forget the fact that when rates go up, your bonds are going to be losers. We're just going to buy more of them because you're older. We're just going to increase them. It really doesn't make any sense. Our basic philosophy, once we figured this out, we talk about this stuff regularly like we've known it forever.
Yeah.
And it's not true.
No.
And we have been properly brainwashed by the industry through a process called continuing education requirements that modern portfolio theory is the best practices, and that is what you should be doing in your client portfolios. And it doesn't work. And all we had to do is go back and look at how beneficial that was for our clients and our businesses in the tech bubble collapse and in the great financial collapse of the real estate market and the mortgage market in 2007-08. And we said, there's something wrong here. Somebody's lied to us. And it took a while to figure out where it was. And it was in the baseline theory that was first published by Harry Markowitz back in 1952 when they were still driving Studebakers. And that's the platform for most people's portfolios today. So we basically believe now, and we went back to the basics of how people made money in the market. How did portfolio managers work before Harry Markowitz published his theory? And it wasn't broadly accepted until the late 70s, and software came out in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, where it made it easier for financial advisors to actually illustrate and use it. But going back to the basics of how the market works is a supply-demand equation. That's an easier way to figure out whether or not what you own is popular. And if it's not popular, it's going to lose money. And is that what you want in your portfolio?
And folks, you know, we're here to tell you, it really is that simple. It really is that simple. It's not easy. It's not easy to administer that in a portfolio, but it's simple. And that's why it's so powerful. It's very, very robust. It doesn't get pushed off center very often. And it's something that's very, very repeatable, but it does address what's going on in the market today. It doesn't rely on long-term averages. Those long-term averages are looking at what has happened. That was one of the biggest flaws with Markowitz's theory, and he said it when he wrote it. There's no predictive power in this. There's nothing in my process that tells you anything about what's coming up. But it got turned into a giant sales pitch by Wall Street, and that's still what it is today. It's a giant sales pitch with beautiful, beautiful charts, elegant math, and a Nobel Prize sitting on the top. And it will do nothing to protect your assets in a down market.
Max just registered for the webinar. There's one more coming in.
Thank you, Max.
If you want to do that today, there's still time. There'll be time all week, but right now is an easy time while you're thinking about it to go to your website or your phone and go to iriradio.com and register for next week's Stock Market Update webinar. We look forward to having you on board and prepare questions. In fact, you can send questions to us in advance to see if we can include them in the presentation. You do that by sending us an email, help@iriradio.com. Say, I wonder if you would address this in the webinar. Tell us what your question is, or the stock, or the fund. I mean, we did that last month. We had somebody write us in advance about Boeing, so we put in some special charts on Boeing and address that.
That's what it's for. It's for you to get involved with. We want to talk about what you want to hear about, and then we're going to let you know what we think about what's going on. But it's a great time to get that kind of an update. And like you said, Don, iriradio.com. We are at the bottom of the hour. Time to get out of here for a quick break. If you're not getting our Week in Review, which is our weekly email newsletter, you can sign up for that by sending us an email. Send that to help@iriradio.com. That's help@iriradio.com. Just put Week in Review in the subject line and your first and last name in the body of the email, and you will begin receiving that on Monday. It's a real good look at the most recent financial news that you've probably seen, and we kind of try to clarify it for everyone and make sure you know that parts of it are important and parts of that news is just noise you can safely ignore. Again, that email goes to help@iriradio.com. You are listening to Investor Resources here on AM 770 KTTH. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Well, John and James just registered on the break. They apparently are not going to wait for Professor Clouseau to figure out what's going on in the market. The Pink Panther is not going to have the answer.
probably a good call, yeah.
Yeah, but he's something a little more current, which is what we intend to figure out this week. We do not have a canned presentation for next Saturday. We generally are pushing the limit sometimes on Saturday morning to get all the updates done.
Sometimes we wish it was canned because it would already be done then. But it's not. True. Yeah, we're going to be up to date. It'll be current, believe me.
So tomorrow morning when Perry and I touch base, it'll be... So have you done anything Saturday?
What are you thinking? Yeah, what are you thinking? What should we...
So we kind of tease each other as we go through the week. We are saying, well, this is relevant, and not so much there. So by the time we get to Friday, we've pretty well refined what we believe are the highlights of what we need to address from a portfolio management standpoint, and how can we communicate that with you, our radio listeners, and obviously those in attendance on the webinar. So what we find in feedback is that people who are on give us high remarks for content that they learn.
Yep.
They learn new stuff because the market is dynamic. This is not something that the buy and hold, just sit it out. I mean, if you're in your 20s, you're probably not listening to us, but if you're in your 20s and you're just starting in your 401k and your monthly contributions, buy and hold is going to be okay for a while. But once you have 50, 100,000, 250,000 or more, buy and hold can mean holding for 6 or 7 or 10 years just to get even after a market collapse. And frankly, we're not telling you there's a bear market coming. Well, there is. We just don't know when.
Yeah, there always is one coming. But yeah, we do not know when.
You know, we do not believe Janet Yellen, who told Congress when she was Fed chairman, who told Congress that, and it is statistically correct, there will not be another bear market in 500 years. Of course, we had one last year, which was less than 10 years from her tenure at the Fed.
Oops.
And she's now in charge of the Federal Treasury.
So she was only 490 years off. So that's a pretty good. That's a pretty good estimate, right?
Well, that's a credential to run the national treasury.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, she's racking up pension benefits that you and I, taxpayer, are going to get to fund. Fortunately, they don't. We don't have to fund it entirely out of our own wages. But be that as it may, the question here is, what are we going to do with this market when, frankly, we don't know? We are adaptive. We do not have a commitment to hang on to anything in our portfolios when they start going south.
Correct.
Now, just because they have a bad couple of days or a bad couple of weeks doesn't mean we're walking away. We don't get divorced that easily from our portfolio positions.
Correct. It does take, it takes a move. It takes a sustained move, and it takes a broad move before we end up making significant changes in the portfolio. And even those, even if we end up with a big sell, and we're selling stuff off, we're probably not going to stay there very long. Things are going to come back around. It's a very rare occurrence that we would be in cash for any extended period of time.
Well, and that's where people get panicking. So yeah. if I'm in cash, then aren't I going to miss out on the biggest day in the market?
Common concern, yes.
And very likely, but it's more important not to lose money. And we've done webinars where we've had the data and illustrated that. And so, in fact, maybe we should address that again. We'll take a look and see what we have to cover.
Might be a good time, sure.
We have Frank in Federal Way who's got a question. So, Frank, you're on the air with Don and Perry.
Hi. Yeah, I had the question. I see that you moved to cash. So what was the trigger that moved our portfolios to cash?
Well, one of the broad triggers is whether or not over the last month the assets are still generating positive returns. And when everything fails and it ends up below cash, then we have a hard time rationalizing hanging on to stuff that is just headed down. And so usually that happens incrementally. It's not a single, nothing. The whole market doesn't move in sync on a given day big enough to trigger that. So it's an asset by asset position. We turn around and look at them regularly. And when they, we explain this in our webinars. In fact, if you go back to January of last year on our website, go to the video tab and scroll down to January of last year and watch that video. We walk you through how that trigger works, how it moves you out and moves you back in. Now, when you're doing that, there are some whipsaws that happen. You know, sometimes you're out and you wish, oh, nuts, I wish I wasn't. And then sometimes you're in and you're saying, I wish I wasn't in, too. I mean, so that was, but those things, that short-term adjustment does average out. And as you'll see from that January 20 webinar, it is very effective in protecting cash against major drawdowns in the market. And then, and it gets you back in. I mean, that's the problem most people have. And that's why most financial advisors will say, well, if you're out of the market at the bottom, you're going to feel such relief that you are out. You'll be too frightened to pull the plug and get back in. And that's why you have a process that says these things are now making money. They're no longer losers. Now, they may be different things, but they're not losing money anymore. And so you start buying what is leadership instead of what you were previously connected to, married to. You know, we've said this before. We've both been married for many decades. We're very committed to those marriage vows, but we are not married to any of the portfolio. If it's not working, we want to change it. And if there's if everything's red on the screen, why do you own it? And if you're happy owning everything that's red on the screen, you could be in modern portfolio theory, because that's what's going to happen. There will be no change. there's not a single trigger, Frank, that moves us either way. It's an incremental move.
And the important thing is it's never our opinion. It's never our opinion. Well, this has gotten bad enough. We have to make a move. It's always data-driven, and it's always like we're either, you know, things are above the cash bogey and making money, or everything's dropped below. And once they drop below, that's when we have to take a close look at why would we stay in this market if everything we own is losing money, and that's when we make a move to start selling off assets.
So that's a good question. The other question I've got is, what's your opinion just with the Fed announcement that they're going to raise rates and that sort of, and ease off the quantitative easing?
You got it.
What's your opinion about what's going to happen in the near 6 months or so? Because if rates are going up and the quantitative easing is taken away, is that not going to have some negative impact on the market?
Well, it could easily. And I just a couple hours ago, I just finished my end of week risk on risk off report for the financial advisors who subscribe to that. And if you would like a copy of it, Frank, you send me an email, help@iriradio.com, and put risk on risk off in the subject line. I'll send you a copy of it. And basically, I address this issue. The Fed has said we are going to fight inflation. However, when we get around to doing that, we are going to still keep buying bonds, which means we're still going to flood the market with money that they don't need. We are going to contribute to the continuation of inflation, even though we're going to fight it one day. And that one day may be in March. And when we get to March, we are going to talk about raising rates. And instead of raising them a quarter point, we're going to consider that sometime this year we might have to raise them a half a point. The question that's on the table is, if the economy starts to slow down and the market drops further than it has in the last couple of months, will the Fed turn from hawk to dove once again? Because the quantitative tightening is not coming. Not anytime soon. Well, soon, maybe in March. Maybe. That's the problem. I think the reason the market rallied on Friday is they figured out, hey, the Fed's not serious. And they're still buying bonds.
And, plus,
and they're not going to.
Like we just talked about in the previous segment, now we have 7% GDP. We have 4% unemployment. We have near record corporate earnings. The economy is just booming. So if we raise rates a bit, I don't see any problem, especially when the Fed's over a year behind here. And if they do what they said, if they raise rates four times and we end up in December with rates at 1.25% or maybe 1.5%, that's still too low. So we're not going to have anything happen this year that's really going to spook the market much, because it's been so well telegraphed.
Well, that's part of the assumption. You're right. Yeah, they think the market's already priced in their hikes, and so there's nothing really to worry about.
Yeah. So if the Fed continues to come to the rescue of the market, then what we're going to have is continued pressure on asset prices to go up, which means that we're just going to have hyperinflation.
That's certainly a scenario.
It's a possibility. It is. It's probably not.
At that point, nobody's going to be able to afford a home or a car.
No, if it gets out of control on that end, then you're right. Then we have a big problem. Then we're also going to look at then a recession becomes almost a certainty, and that's what will take care of it. A big recession and, you know, high unemployment, and that calms down the economy real quick. So the Fed is trying not to push it to that point. Hopefully they'll be able to walk that tightrope and get us there. But there's definitely no guarantee.
I think they're going to have to take away the bubble in the real estate market and some other prices out there. And if they don't, it's just going to be very difficult for the average person out there to do anything.
Well, that's already happening, and the hiking interest rates.
It's already happening.
Yep.
Yeah, hiking interest rates will slow down the real estate market. That's already happening in Canada.
That's
very likely to start here. The only thing that keeps it up right now is we have a very limited inventory of new housing and new housing construction in all categories. especially a shortage in lower priced housing, starter homes. I mean, that's just being built.
Yep. They're gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're past a break time here. Frank, that was a good call. Good questions. If you want that report, send me an email, help@iriradio.com, and I'll get that report back to you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
And let's go ahead and get out of here for our last break of the afternoon. One that if you would like to hear more about this economy, more about some of the things Frank was just talking about, inflation and the Fed and where are we going here, you should sign up for our next market update, which is Saturday, February 5th. That'll be next Saturday morning, 9:00 in the morning, and you can register for that by going to iriradio.com. If you'd like to talk to us this afternoon, feel free to give us a call, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Well, that bump music is Take It Higher. That's what everybody wants to have happen in the market. And it's going to take some catalyst to actually run us up into, certainly back to new highs. We're a long way. Need a lot of movement in order to get back there. And right now, we just don't see what the catalyst is. But on the other side, we don't see the catalyst for a full-fledged bear market either. What we're doing right now, for the most part, is the major companies that were benefiting from the pandemic, work from home, lockdown, get off the street. So anything that you could do online to run your business or to entertain the family, that those companies were overspeculated. And what's happening right now is the fluff is being removed. And so the indexes are suffering from that. A good portion of the market had already been declining before we got to the pandemic. All that happened was made those declines extend further. In fact, when I was looking at the number of stocks that are above the 200-day moving average, we're down into the mid-20s. 20% of the New York Stock Exchange is below, only 20% is above a 200-day moving average. That is not a bull market. And so there's a lot of damage that's already been done. Now, how much further down can it go? Well, nobody knows. I mean, down is down, and it's over when it's over. And so the issue is, along the way, are you going to be defensive or are you going to pretend it did not occur? We don't think pretending makes a lot of sense. Let's deal with the situation in front of us. I mean, for several years, my wife used to complain when I'd say, it is what it is. And she said, quit saying that. Well, now she's telling me, you know, it is what it is.
I get it now. It is what it is, isn't it? Yeah, it is. So.
and that's what we have to deal with the market. This is not something where you build a strategy and say, Dad, that looks really cool. That'll be good for the next 30 years.
I'm done. That just doesn't exist. The perfect portfolio doesn't exist. You have to have a portfolio that's adapting to what's going on in the market, and the market is changing faster than it ever has. And so that when you're out of step, it's much quicker now to hurt you than it was before. And it can take a lot longer to rebound, because it'll rebound somewhere different than it was before, because the market rotates so quickly now.
And you're frustrated with what's going on in the market. You're not alone. It is what it is. You are not alone, and you're not alone even among professional traders.
No.
And it takes a long time for professional traders to learn how to control their emotions and deal with reality. It is what it is. And so now we have a new set of dynamics in front of us. The Fed has said, this is what we think we will do. I think they left the word think out. This is what we plan on doing. But it's not casting concrete.
Never is.
It's a funk. They have a divided set of opinions among the ones who are hawkish and those who are dovish. I mean, they don't have consensus. And finally, Chairman Powell says, well, this is what we're going to do. I think he does have authoritarian power on the Fed board.
He does.
Because they because after the meeting, they'll come out. Hill makes his announcement, which he did on Wednesday. And then others who disagree with him start making speeches over the next couple of weeks, which are opposite of what the Fed said they were going to do. In fact, what was interesting about Wednesday with the speech is that when looking at the S&P 500, the S&P was falling prior to the speech, but it didn't go down to the recent lows. And then it rose, and then it fell again. But when it rose, it didn't go up. Well, it went right up to the declining trend line, and then it backed off. So in the midst of the day of the Fed presentation, investors, including professionals, were confused. See, you're not alone. You are not alone trying to figure this out. And what you need is a set of rules that says, okay, when this happens, this is what I'm going to do, even though my gut says I don't want to do this.
And that, but the fact, rule. That, yeah, that's the most important time. That's when fear and greed take over. That's when you're the most greedy or the most afraid. You don't know how to make a decision. If you have a set of rules to say, okay, this is what we're supposed to do, then you can just execute those, and you're going to be miles ahead of someone in the midst of all the chaos trying to make a decision about what to do or to do nothing. And that's when people get themselves in big trouble, because it's an emotional decision, and it's almost always wrong.
So when we look at what's happened in the market this last week, we saw some improvement at the end of the week in the Dow Jones. We saw some improvement in the S&P 500, and we saw some improvement in the NASDAQ, though not nearly as much. I mean, it's still pretty dicey there. But one of the things that would show that there was agreement across the board is improvement in the small cap segment. And that did not happen.
Absolutely. Correct.
I mean, it is still further down. I mean, it had a little bit of a bounce. The ticker for tracking the Russell 2000 is IWM. And that, I mean, you look at it over the last couple of years. Well, actually, since February of last year, it basically has been trading sideways. It's up, and then it collapses, and then it bounces, and then it collapses, it bounces. I mean, you want to talk about whipsaw. It's month after month after month of up and down and up and down. And it's the old teeter-totter, and you never go anywhere until this last month when the bottom fell out, and Friday's rally did not correct that. It is still down significantly. And so whether or not Friday's bounce sustains itself into next week, obviously is an unknown, because this future, nobody does know.
That's next week, yes.
but the trend support that we would expect to see a healthy market and a broad recovery starting just simply isn't there. So the question for you is, do you have a plan to deal with this if Friday's rally was buy the dippers and they ran out of money and there isn't anything left for next week?
And we won't don't know till next week. We'll see how that goes. But if that's your bet, then your bed's already made. You're going to sleep in it no matter what's going on. We would rather look at how it unfolds and then react to what's happening. And you can do that. You just have to pay attention. You have to track things that matter: current prices, current momentum, current moves in the securities that you own or the ones you're considering owning, and pretty much ignoring everything else. All the opinions, all of the talk about the Fed, all the talk about inflation, none of that makes any difference. What are the prices doing? Where are they strengthening? Where are they weakening? And make your decision based on that data.
So we use this phrase from time to time, and that is, do you own a magnet for money? Do you own something that other people want to own? It's kind of like having a garage sale. You have a line of cars at 6 o'clock in the morning because you've been advertising your garage sale with this very unique antique, and there is a ton of people who want to own it. You are going to make some money today. But if, on the other hand, you have a bunch of stuff at 4 o'clock in the afternoon that's still sitting in the garage, the next person who shows up and wants to buy a $5 trinket, you say, hey, by the way, I'm going to throw this in. I'm going to give you this. How about this? I wasn't running a garage sale, but we had grandkids over here several weeks ago. And we've had stuff in our storage pod because of having to renovate the inside of the house. And one of those things was sconces that we replaced. So one of the grandsons is young. He's bought a house at a young age. Good for him. I'm saying, Adrian, can't you use these someplace in your house?
These would look great at your place. Yeah,
they would. Don't you have sconces in your hallway? No, I don't. Well, these will work really great. And your uncle's an electrician. He can help you with that. Yeah. And by the way, I have an outside grill that I'm not using for camping. Don't you kill camping? Yeah. So you take that too. Well, when that happens, those prices are zero. And that's what goes on in the stock market. If you own something that is not a magnet for money, the price is going to fall. And what are you going to do about it? Nothing. We think that's not good portfolio management. You want to own a magnet for money. Now, how do you figure that out? Well, you got to watch what's going on in the market. We run some screens. We got a set of screens, and they pop up on a flag system that says, well, look at this. This just changed. You want to take a look at it? See if you need to do something with it. You need a process. We have processes for all of the portfolios we run. We run three for individuals, and we run five for 401k plans. They make a difference because they're run by rules instead of by emotional response to the news. Anyway, we're coming up out of time here. This, you tell me, Perry, we're back up on a break. Well, this break is the final one. We're going to be
done
gone.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to register for the webinar for next Saturday, go to irradio.com. That's irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner says webinar. Couple of clicks, your name, and you'll be set. And if you can't attend, we'll get a replay link, and you can still email us with questions. But we are out of time. We hope you have a great week. Don't lose sleep. Have a plan, a reasonable plan. If you don't have one, you should be talking to us, 800-317-9119 during the week. God bless you, your family, and the United States of America. Have a great weekend.